any specific interests, write it down. We will find you and let you know, because we put on a lot of programs here. And tonight is a particularly good one. We're having Patrick Donnelly and Anne-Marie Levine are reading, both from New York. Their books are available for sale in the back, if you haven't noticed already, The Charge and Euphorbia and Bus Ride to a Blue Movie by Anne-Marie. So after the reading is over, or, you know, go back and help yourselves and check it out. And I'm going to turn it over to Randall Couch, who's introducing Patrick. Thank you for coming.
Hi. It's a great pleasure to welcome Patrick Donnelly to Philadelphia and the Kelly Writers House. Patrick's touring the country behind his new album, The Charge, which you can purchase after the show. And I'm sure he'd be more than happy to inscribe a copy for you. Patrick's an associate editor at Four Way Books in New York. His poems have appeared in the Yale Review, the Virginia Quarterly Review, Massachusetts Review, Plowshares, Marlborough Review, and other journals. He received his MFA from Warren Wilson College, where he was a recipient of the Larry Levis Scholarship. He's a curator of the Ear In reading series in Greenwich Village and is on the program staff for Readings on the Bowery, sponsored by Four Way Books at the Bowery Poetry Club. In his jacket blurb, Greg Orr, who read here last week, says that Patrick's amazing book, The Charge, has something to do with electricity. It certainly has to do with being touched by an awful power. The 13th century mystic and poet Jalaluddin Rumi wrote, "The friend comes into my body looking for the center, unable to find it, draws a blade, strikes anywhere." In Patrick Donnelly's poems, we feel that blade strike again and again. But with each blow, the world becomes more luminous and more indispensable. The speaker of these poems does not retreat within himself to lick his wounds, but time and again turns outward to individual people, to the urban landscape, to a variegated begonia. He asks with the old dervish, "Is the one I love everywhere?" Rumi, in a poem about poetry, minted a famous image that always comes to mind when I hear Patrick's work, the winged heart. I don't think I could better prepare you for these poems than to leave you with those lines about the self in the world. Stop the words now. Open the window in the center of your chest and let the spirits fly in and out. Please help me welcome Patrick Donnelly.
Thank you, Randall, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you to Jennifer and Tom and Venice and all the wonderful people at Kelly Writers House. This book is so new that it still feels like a miracle to me to be holding it in my hand. I'm going to start with some poems that I call poems of obsessive attraction, and then segue into some prayers, pivoting on one poem, which is both. How is it sometimes? How is it sometimes a black shape, as this morning a brisk shadow shouldered by me to the street out of the dark arcades under the city, his hair, I knew it was a he, cut close like a cap, a glimpse of narrow hips under a blurred coat or cape, a sketch, a bare suggestion of a face, of fine eyes, luster, pallor, this little flashing past and already lost is enough to leave an impression of handsomeness. Strange but already cherished silhouette, rushing, peripheral, to what image do you correspond behind my eye, in my brain or starveling heart, and who engraved the outline of longing there? Every day I risk more danger, daring to turn full face and look at the sun rising over my shoulders, cold earth. Never disappointed. In the instant before blindness and ash, beauty always confirmed, sometimes Oh, luminous, even looking back. You know, in you're in lyric territory when a poet says oh or ah. But I happen to steal that particular oh from the poet Martha Rhodes, my boss. Young man reading Colette on the train. You hold my gaze a little too long. Your hair cut short like a boy's, your fine little glasses, at your ear glint of gold, in your cheek a slight shade of wasting. This is to say, I see you, I know you, I am alert to your potential, to ours, on this train, on every train, on the platform, on the stairs to the street, on the dim threshold, in the elevator stopped between floors, in its flickering lights, then in that dark opening, if we are spared, where I might find my way to you, graceful ghost of a chance. Now he's painting watercolors from a saucer in the coffee house. Now he's about 20 with a face clean as honey. Now he's tilting the little shade to get more light, concentrating, dipping into the water mug, dapping with a tissue, knuckles shining, sketching air parabolas with the wrong end of his brush, guinea tea scalloping his white throat. Now I wish you would drop that brush and catch me loving you before the fan sucks me out with the smoke. His café con leche hands. Immaculate white apron tied low around his supple little Cuba hips, like the Guadalupe over the counter, without stain or spot of any kind, though God knows I long to spill something of myself across that almost altar, stumble into the snowfield of his sheets. He glitters like an otter doing the forbidden lambada, and oh, the little shake he always gives my iced hazelnut to mix it with heavy cream, sweet whiteness falling, tumbling through dark, bitter body before I pierce the little pucker with my straw, my mighty, mighty straw. And here's the pivot poem, which is both a prayer and obsessive attraction. It's called Prayer After the Baths. Thank you for causing no man to love me for more than a few minutes at a time with such art as Big Tall Tom has used this night. Because when he took off his baseball cap to rub his buzz cut along my belly, murmuring under his breath a baritonal sweet, I was in danger of becoming one of those who have their reward in this life. And then the proud palm-shaded pew you in your famous jealousy have prepared for me among the ranks of minor martyrs might have gone unoccupied. Prayer after refusing to pray. Why? When the ferocious beauty that steers this world has never braked for any cry of mine, do I find myself making again toward you who will always do just as you please. These motions with my lips and hands and knees, trying to gentle your vast wheel off the rails. My friend is sick in the lymph behind his heart, a monk, a teacher, your servant who loved you so. This next poem has an Arabic word in it, Bismillah. It means in the name of God, and it's the first word of any Muslim prayer. Prayer at the gym. Only an all-powerful name invoked again and again gives me victory over middle age, a chronic